Bibles this morning, turn with me to Titus chapter 1. Titus chapter 1. We're going to be looking at verses 10 through verse 16. We're going to look at that idea of beware. Beware. How many ever been out and about and you've come across a sign that says beware? And usually says beware of dogs. Now, how many have seen those wonderful signs? Now, I remember one time I was out and I saw one of those signs. So I'm a little nervous when it comes to dogs. I've shared some dog stories. And as I came and I was a little worried about, all right, how big is this dog going to be? And all of a sudden, this little dog came up to the fence about this big, yapping. And I'm like, I'm supposed to be afraid of that? Beware of what? A yappy little dog? No way am I going to be afraid of that. And so I'm looking at this little yappy dog. And then a few minutes later, I feel something breathing on me. And I look, there's a little dog there, but there's something bigger. And that thing has that nice little smile on its face, yeah. And kind of, I'm glad there was a fence between me and that animal. I wasn't supposed to be afraid of that dog, but I was supposed to be aware of that one. You know, many times in our lives, we know we're supposed to be aware. We know we're supposed to be careful. But a lot of times, we worry about the little dogs, and we're not worrying about some of the bigger issues in our lives, some of the bigger struggles, some of the bigger problems. We need to be aware. You see, we tend to worry about the small stuff and we make sure that we're not doing anything wrong in the sight of other people. And we're careful of taking care of the little dog. But we know the bigger issue isn't the little dog. The bigger issue isn't all the little things that we're trying to do. The bigger issue, what we got to be aware, is our heart. And what we're feeding our heart. And what we're listening to. You see, as I went up there, I saw the little dog yapping. No big deal. Then that big dog came. I was afraid. I need to be aware of that dog. We worry about the little stuff. And a lot of times we go through our Christian life worrying about the little dogs and never dealing with the issue at hand and be wary. This portion of scripture we're going to read, verse 10 through verse 16, they are warned about some issues happening. Now, as you would study this out and you look at this church and you look at what was all happening, many times they were very careful about trying to look the part and trying to act the part, but there was a bigger issue, a bigger problem at hand. And that is being addressed in verse 10 through verse 16. Because there were some that were coming in, as Jude even warns us, be aware of those who come in and try to teach something that goes against the Word of God. There are those that are coming in, we're going to look at what it is, teaching a different doctrine. Beware of false doctrine. Beware of false teaching. We major on the minor, and we minor on the major. And we got to make sure that we're being aware of what we need to be aware of. Look with me, verse 10 to verse 16. For there are many unruly and vain talkers and deceivers, especially they of the circumcision, whose mouths must be stopped, who subvert whole houses, teaching things which they ought not, for filthy lucre's sake. One of themselves, even a prophet of their own, said that the Cretans are always liars, evil beasts, slow bellies. This witness is true. Wherefore, rebuke them sharply, that they may be sound in the faith, not giving heed to Jewish fables and commandments of men that turn from the truth. Unto the pure, all things are pure, but unto them that are defiled and unbelieving, there is nothing pure, but even their mind and conscience is defiled. They profess that they know God, but in works they deny him, being abominable and disobedient unto every good work, reprobate. Heavenly Father, we ask that you just illuminate your scriptures to us this morning. Lord, that you would help us to see what we need to take from this. We pray in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen. Beware, and look at verse 16, then we'll get into verse 10 through that. They profess that they know God, but in works they deny him. Beware of the bigger issue. They profess they know God, but their works, their heart shows they deny him. It is very easy for many of us to get in what is called a hypocritical stage of life. We've been, many individuals in this room, and myself included, been in church many years of our life. Probably more years in than more years out. We have been taught, groomed, shown, spoon-fed what we're supposed to do. But we come into a place of complacency and hypocrisy. Because we just go through the motions of life and we don't even look at the bigger issue. Beware. Beware, because here, this is something that was happening here. And I want you to see what was taking place here. Verse 10 gives us the ones we need to be concerned about. We see the concern here. For there are many unruly and vain talkers and deceivers, especially they of circumcision. Now those that have studied the Word of God understand what circumcision was in the Bible day. It was a sign, it was a mark of your covenant with God. It was taking place. If you look back in the Old Testament, you look at what it was that covenant that was given. This day and age, we do it more for health reasons. Back then, it was not for the health reasons. It was a sign that was given. And the circumcision was done. But as you would study the Old Testament, study out, many times they did the circumcision even though they had no intentions to live for God or follow God. The same with those that were part of the Nazarite vow. Even Samson, he didn't cut his hair, he didn't do those things, but he had no intentions. He was supposed to follow, but he had no intentions to follow his commitment to God. That is the same truth in many of our lives. There are many individuals who have put their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, and that is the only way of salvation. You cannot find salvation any other way. But many have put their faith and trust in him. But let me tell you, what has happened is, we said we're going to follow God. We're going to live for God. We made a decision, and we made a so-called commitment. But we're not following God. For there are many unruly and vain talkers. Unruly. Does that not paint a picture of our world today? That word unruly carries the idea of chaos. It carries the idea of division. It carries the idea of those just spewing at the mouth. And whatever comes to their mind is what they teach and what they give and what they say. It doesn't always make sense. How many have heard stuff recently in our world today that doesn't make any sense? From any type of leaders, any type of individuals, they talk, and then if they really listen to what they said, they would not say what they said because it doesn't make any sense. How many have had your kids do that? They go on a 15-minute dissertation to excuse what they've done. And their 15-minute dissertation didn't make any sense to them or to you. And it was just spewing at the mouth, giving it out. Some of you are laughing because you've been there. You know what I'm talking about. There was those that were unruly. There was those that were causing confusion and problems in this day. There were those that were coming. This is the concern that was happening and what the concern they were saying. And there were the vain talkers. The word vain means empty. They were empty talkers. They were full, as we put it, of hot air. How many met a person that's full of hot air? All right, don't point your fingers at me. I saw that. But you're full of hot air. And man, they just boom, boom, boom. And I tell you, everything they say doesn't really amount to anything. I tell you, there's the emptiness there. How many ever been in a classroom and the teacher taught for 45 minutes? And you sat back and you go, what did he say? Is there any value to what he said? Or did he just fill 45 minutes of my time and wasted it? How many been there before? And you have that. So there's this emptiness here. This emptiness of the talker. There's those that are unruly and the vain talkers and deceivers. Be concerned of the unruly. Be concerned of the deceivers. There are some that are going to blow a lot of hot air, but what they're trying to do is deceive you. Be concerned. This is what the warning is. Beware. Beware of those who are going to deceive you. How many ever heard someone now, not doing all the hot air, but some of that sounds pretty good? And when you hear it at first, you go, wow, that sounds good. But the more you search it out, the more you look into it and say, wow, that's not good. That's not even close to what it ought to be. Because they're deceiving with their speech. There's a lot of individuals in our world today that are very good speakers. They know what words to say, how to say them. They know how to make you happy. They know how to make you sad. They know how to use the voice inflections. They know how to do all those things to play on your emotions. And when you're done, you feel good. But be careful. Because there's deceivers out there that are trying nothing but to deceive you. There are many things in our lives today that are trying to deceive us. You said, I said in the beginning about the dog situation, about be wearing of the right things. We have been deceived to think we can go ahead and live the way we want to live and do what we want to do, and it's no big deal. Beware of being deceived. Beware of being deceived that you can take what is being taught in this world and adapt it to the church and to the word of God. If it goes contrary, beware, you can't. Who is the ultimate deceiver? The devil himself is the ultimate deceiver. Who is behind deception today? Who is behind trying to deceive us? It's not just Hollywood. It's not just our politicians. It's just not unsaved individuals in this world today. It's not just even believers who know better. Who is behind the deception today? It is the devil himself. And what has happened in our world today and what's happening in this place in Titus here, what is happening there, as many were taking hook, line, and sinker, the deception, the false teaching of the day, and they said, wow, it sounds good. We're going to go ahead and do it, even though we know it goes against the word of God. And they've been deceived, and many today have been deceived. Let me tell you, good people get deceived. Good people get deceived. There are a lot of good people in this world. Nice people, moral people, ethical people, sweet people, kind people. No, that's, never mind, I won't say it. That's not Brian, no, just kidding. But there's all those in this world, but they've been deceived in believing something that goes contrary to the word of God. Look a little further here as we look at the concern. For there are many unruly and vain talkers and deceivers, especially they of circumcision. You know what our main deceivers are today about? Mainly the gospel. You know what is being taught falsely more than any other doctrine in our world today is the gospel. The gospel. What is the gospel? The death burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, as 1 Corinthians 15 tells us. That is the gospel. What is the gospel? That God loved you so much that he sent his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by him. What is the gospel? The gospel is God loved you. He went to send his only Son to that old rugged cross. His Son was crucified on the cross, placed in the borrowed tomb, rose again the third day. And if you put your faith and trust in him and him alone for salvation, God will save you. That's the gospel. And every man must personally put their faith in Jesus to have salvation. It's not because your grandma saved that you're saved. No, you must put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Not because you went to a church that you saved. No, you must have a time in your life when you realize you're a sinner in need of a Savior. And you cried out to God and called upon him and he saved your soul. That's the gospel. Beware. There are those teaching a false gospel today. The Bible calls it another gospel. Not another of the same kind, another of a different kind. They're teaching something different. They're teaching that everyone goes to heaven. I tell you, I love everybody. I wish everybody went to heaven. But let me tell you, not everybody goes to heaven. Because my God is a holy God. And my God cannot allow sin into heaven. And there's only one way for our sins to be removed. As far as from the east to the west, and that is the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. For without the shedding of the blood, there is no remission of sin. And only putting faith in the Lord Jesus Christ covers our sin, removes our sin. So when God the Father looks down on us, he doesn't see our sin, but he sees the blood of his Son. That is the only way of salvation. Some say, well, it doesn't matter what God you believe in. As long as you believe in a God. That is a false doctrine. There's not many God. My Bible says there's only one God. And that's the Jehovah God. That is God of Abraham, the God of Isaac. There's not many. There's only one who can save your soul. There is only one who can live on this earth without sin. There's only one who died for you. There's only one who rose. And that is Jesus Christ. There's only one who can save. And his name is Jesus. See, there's false doctrines. Because they say, well, everyone's saved. Oh, there's many gods. There's some that say there's many ways to heaven. My Bible says, narrow's a way. The broad way leads to destruction. The narrow way leads to Jesus. There's not many ways. There's only one way. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. I don't have to work my way to heaven, for by grace you're saved through faith, and that not of yourselves is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. It's not by any works that I have done. I cannot work my way to heaven. Bible says without faith, it is impossible to please him. I must put my faith in him and him alone. That's been distorted, and many have been deceived. There's only one way of salvation, it's Jesus Christ. After you're saved, the Bible says you're to follow him in obedience and baptism. But baptism does not save. It's a step of obedience after salvation. There's only one way, according to the Lord Jesus Christ, and it's by faith in him and him alone. Many have been deceived. But I want you to look at another thought as we look at this idea of beware. Whose mouth must be stopped. Who subvert whole houses, teaching things which they ought not, for filthy lucre's sake. Do you see what's going on in the concern? Whole houses, teaching things which they ought not, for filthy lucre's sake. There are many who are teaching and disturbing whole houses of worship. Whole houses, the church, our homes, our families, our world today. They're teaching. And they're teaching these lies. And they're teaching these things. And did you see something there at the end of that part as we were concerned, who we need to be concerned about? For filthy lucre. What it means is they're not doing it to help you. They're doing it to help themselves. And I tell you, I understand those that are supposed to be teaching and those, I understand they need to be taken care of. The Bible talks about that. That's not what this is talking about, though. The Bible doesn't say just because you get paid to minister to people, that's wrong. That's not what the Bible's talking about here. What it's saying is those that are taking it and those that are using it to push their deceit and their lies and the root of this is just to get somebody's money. Let me give an example of this. Now, what if I told you that my tie has special powers? And I'm going to go ahead and take my tie off. And I'm going to hold this tie up here and tell you, if you send me $19.95, I will send you my tie. And if I send you my tie, this is your prayer tie. And you just hold on to this tie, buddy, and you pray, and all your prayers will come true. For $19.95. Sorry, you can't have it. $19.95. This will make your life all better. All your sicknesses will go away. All you have to do is send me $19.95, and I'll send you my tie.
Can you be mine for that one?
Here's the idea. This is not going to heal anybody. This is not going to help anybody. This is not going to take care of any issues. And what people do is they say, you send the money, we'll send you this. You know what's going to change things? It's our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and having the right relationship with Him. But there are those in that day, and there are those in this day. You know what they're doing? They're being deceived, and they're deceiving others, saying, hey, we want you to listen to us because it's going to fill our pocketbooks. Now, we got to be careful because we are living in a time where people think church is all about money. Now, let me tell you, church is not all about money, but it does take God's people being faithful and giving their tithe as they should to take care of the bills of a church. But a church should not just solely be so focused and so concentrated on money that they forget the main purpose. And there are churches today that are doing all this other extra stuff to bring money into a church. And we must be careful, because who takes care of the church? God does. Through who? God's people. And how is that done? Through God's people being faithful and they're giving unto God. And then if all God's people are faithful and giving unto God, we don't have to go the other way. And what's being happened today, many are being deceived and saying, we got to have this program and we got to have this business out of the church and this out of this church and that out of the church to bring this money in, because we can't take care of the church any other way. The problem is this: God's people are being deceived, saying, I don't have to give. No, we have to be faithful in our giving unto God, but God takes care of the things. Whose mouth shall be stopped? We see the concern, but we see the call. Not only the concern, but we see the call. What is the call? The call is, it has to be stopped. The call is, it can't go on any further. The call is, hey, some people have to stand up and say, no more. We're not going to be a part of it. We're not going to take the lies. We're not going to listen to what's being taught. We're going to stay true to the Word of God. And we're not going to give in to what people are pushing. You see, there's a call today for us as believers to say what others are pushing isn't correct and isn't right. Now, we need to handle truth and love. We as believers, and I say that in a general, loose way, have handled this many times in the wrong way. Those remember back 7 years ago that there was a mass shooting, killing in a gay bar in Florida. There was a preacher of an independent Baptist church that said that afterwards he was glad that they died. Now that is craziness. Now we understand the Bible teaches against that type of life, but God loves the sinner. He hates the sin, but He loves the sinner.
And we have to have the call. We have to say, hey, you know what? We can't stand for this, but we have to do it in love. We have to love them. Because if those individuals did not know the Lord Jesus Christ, they're spending an eternity in lake of fire. We ought to be more concerned about their soul than anything else. We ought to get to a place where we have such a love for them. And I understand there's a many deceivers today, many teaching a false lie today. Doesn't mean I have to hold hands with them and sing Kumbaya, my Lord. But I have to stand against them and say, hey, this isn't right. But I'm going to tell you and I'm going to have love for you. I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to be here for you. Because I want you to see the truth. That's what the call is. But look with me a little further. Look at verse 13. So we look at the call. The witness is true, wherefore rebuke them sharply, that they may be sound in the faith. This is talking about even those who are believers. How many times have you don't have to raise your hand, or you've known other believers that have deviated from what you're supposed to do? I think many of us, if we would look at our lives, we would see that we have deviated at times. How many of you have ever needed a prod to get back in line again? Now, in the old days in school, when you would leave a classroom, and some schools still do this loosely, how did you have to walk? You had to walk in a straight line with your mouth closed, your hands to the side, straight, and not look anywhere else, right? You had the direction. This is how you had to walk. And what happened if you started to weave a little bit? And that there was a nice little loving hand that came and pushed you back in line. How many were that type of child and you were walking in line and you would try to turn around in line without the teacher noticing you, Dave? And you try to turn around without the teacher noticing. And when they saw you turning around, they saw you and they took you and they turned you back into the right direction. Now, here's what we need to see here. We all need rebuking. The Bible says in 2 Timothy, all scripture is given by inspiration of God for reproof, for doctrine, for correction. It's given to rebuke us because we're human and we've sinned. How many have sinned this week? How many have sinned today? Rich, get your hand off it. We've all sinned, right? How many of us have deviated this past week from exactly what we're supposed to be doing? We all have. Let's be honest. And what we need is rebuke. That's why we need to be in God's word daily. That's why we need to be in God's house. That's why we need to be around other believers. That's why we need the Christian fellowship. That's why we need the spiritual leadership in the home. That's why we need those things. Why? Because what it does is it helps us, gets us back going where we're supposed to be going. Aren't you glad for that? How many of you ever been driving and you're exhausted and you're tired and you should have stopped, but you want to just press a little further to get, if you're going on vacation or if you're getting to a different point and you're going? How many of you have ever done that before? And you're even taking your hands and holding your eyes open like this, trying to stay awake. And you have the windows down and it's 20 below zero, but you still have the windows down and the air is coming in. And you don't listen to music usually, but you have it cranked as loud as you could on the station you would never ever listen to because it's just pounding and you're trying to keep awake. How many, you don't have to admit this, but how many of you or you know someone that you start to drift off the road? And there's these wonderful things on most highways and freeways today that when you start to drift, they're kind of bubbly there and they make this awful noise. And your car starts to shake. And it wakes you up. You know why they're there, right? To wake you up. To get your attention. To get you back on track again. How many of you ever hit those things before? And how many of you have done it? You're not even tired. You're just that bad of a driver. All right? And it gets your attention. And it gets you back. It gets you back in line. It gets you back where you need to go. This is what this is talking about. Hey, we need to be concerned of what is happening. We need to understand there's concern, but there's a call to come back. There's a call to say, there's a warning. You've gone too far. You're not living the way you ought to be living. You're taking the deceit. You're taking those lies, and you're falling them. Wake up. That's the call that is given.
But look at verse 14. Not giving heed to Jewish fables and the commandments of men that turn from the truth.
How many have ever read a kid's storybook before? And it sounded very cute. But you read it and go, what is this really teaching? How many ever read Dr. Seuss? Now, Dr. Seuss, to me, is a very weird book. All his books are. My favorite is Green Eggs and Ham, though. And the reason I like Green Eggs and Ham, my grandma Bliss, that's how she cooked. Everything was green when she cooked. You don't believe me? Ask my parents. Everything she cooked was green. Her potatoes, everything was green. But a lot of that are fables, are farce stories. We have books called, what are books that aren't true out there? What are they called? Fiction. They're fables. They're not to be believed. How many of you ever read a book that was fiction and you believed every word in that book? How many of you watched a TV program that is fiction and you believed what they taught you? How many of you ever watched the great theologian on History Channel teach you some wonderful truths about the Bible and you listen to them? Now you gotta be careful because a lot of that stuff is fables. It's stories. It's to get an audience. It's to get people's attention. Beware of those. Because the call is you have to turn from those. Because just because something sounds good doesn't mean it is. How many heard something that sounded so good and then you thought it was real, you thought it was perfect, and then when you got it or you did it, it was far from being perfect? How many watch infomercials? How many bought something? Come on, be honest. How many bought something off infomercials? I'm not the only one in this room. Alright, you bought stuff off the infomercials. I know some of you. I'm waiting for honesty. All right, here we go. Now we're getting it. And you bought this gadget. You bought this thing that was going to transform and be awesome. It was going to be the best thing in the world. How many bought those knives about 7 years, 8 years ago? The indestructible knives that never need sharpened. The best knives in the world. How many bought those? Now, we still have one of those in the back of the church. One is still living. It is my favorite knife back there in the kitchen. That was the only knife that worked. The rest of them, you couldn't even cut butter with them. But a lot of things we get, we think, just because they tell us it's true. No, be careful. The call is, you've got to be concerned. Here's the concern of all these lies. The call is, you've got to turn from those, you've got to rebuke those. But I want us to finish with one other thought this morning. Verse 16. There's so much more here, but verse 16. They profess that they know God, but in works they deny Him, being abominable and disobedient to every good work, retrograde. See, we see the call, we see the concern, we see the call, but we also see the challenge. We see the concern, we see the call, but we also see the challenge. What is the challenge? The challenge is that we don't just profess it, but we live. The concern, the challenge is we don't just become a reprobate, we are challenged and we're living the way we're supposed to be living. The challenge is this. There are many who say they're following God, yet
They're far from it. There are many who say they're godly, but they're not even close to being godly. They deny Him. They profess to know God, but their life shows something totally different. This is where the hypocrisy that we mentioned just a little bit comes into play. How many, you don't have to raise your hand, I want you to think about this. How many of you or you've known someone who have claimed to be a believer, but then you've saw their lives, or even our own lives at times, and you would see by our fruit and by our lives, we're far from what we claim to be. You see, the issue was there was those that said they were going to be circumcised, they're going to follow God, they're going to live for God, they were listening to the fables, they were listening to false teachings, they were listening to all those things. But they weren't living for God anyway. They took the lies and said, you can do whatever you want to do. You know what the big one of the other biggest lies besides the gospel out there today? Is that if you're saved, you can live any way you want to live. That's not the truth.
That's right.
Now, I understand if I'm truly saved, no man can pluck me out of the hand of God. I cannot lose my salvation. But if I'm truly saved, I cannot continue to live in the pig pen of sin either. God's going to get a hold of me two ways. One, He's going to keep prodding me to get me back on track, and I'm going to finally listen and get right with God. Or the Bible says He can even take my life. And what we have to see is there is the challenge for us to start living what we say we are. Don't take the false doctrines in. Start living. Practice what you preach. Practice what you proclaim. You tell your kids something and you do something opposite of that. How effective is that to your kids? If you were a boss at your place of employment and you told your employees they couldn't do certain things, they couldn't have certain perks or privileges, but you did whatever you wanted, how well does that go? What has happened in our world today, believers have said, I'm a Christian, I'm following God, but they're living any way they want to live. It's the same. You see, we see in our young people, in our kids, it's true. And most of our young people are not living what they claim to be. They say they've made a profession and that's between them and God. But they have no desire to live for God. They're not living for God at school with their language. They're not living for God at school with what they're watching, what they're seeing, and all those things. But it goes further than just our young people. Many adults in our world today are not living what they claim to be. There's a warning. We're so worried about the little dog over here barking. We forget there's a big dog over there. The problem isn't we need to read more, we need to pray more, we need to do this more, we need to do that more. The problem is we've taken the world's philosophies and we're not heeded to the Word of God. And the problem is our heart. And our problem is we aren't totally sold out to God and giving everything to God. We're worried about over here. We're worried about the exterior. But we're not worried about the interior over here. Beware. Tonight we're going to be partaking of the Lord's Supper. The message we're going to look at before we partake is out of the book of Psalms about self-examination. And each of us need to get to a place where we self-examine ourselves. see will react. Beware. Don't take in the lies, the fables, the deceit, the unruly. Be concerned. But understand there's a call to rebuke it out there, but to rebuke it in our own lives. And there's a challenge to live out what we say we believe. Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you for your precious word. We thank you for what we saw in the scripture. And Lord, there's even more there about the pure and impure. And Lord, some more thoughts that we need to just take and examine and apply to our hearts and to our lives. Lord, we do pray if there's one that does not know you as our personal Lord and Savior. So we have our invitation psalm. Lord, we pray that they would put their faith and trust in you and you alone for salvation. Lord, I pray that each of us as believers would just be open to your word and we would respond in a way that would please you. We pray in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen. Go ahead and stand with me.